This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour two of Sharp Money rolling along on this Thursday afternoon, August 1st. Joe Cirillo in for Patrick Maher all week alongside Dustin Sweetelson. And Dustin, now is when we start having some fun on this show. We're going to start having some of our VSiN guys hop on, and that starts with our colleague Sean Green. Sean, how you doing today? Let's welcome him in on the Progressive Guest Line.
Yeah, it's a great honor and privilege to be on the opposite side of the Progressive Guest Line. And thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Sean, you're the best. Me and Sean go way back, actually, Joe. We did a show at Sirius XM together, and then we both ended up here at VSiN. And I think him and Ryan Kramer, two of the most entertaining guys we have in the whole gambling space. I'm thrilled they're a part of VSiN. You can catch them Fridays, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and every now and then filling in on Follow the Money. And Sean, I kind of want to start with, you're such a degen, and you go back so far that you're always looking at these random schools and teams that no one's thinking about. Like, we'll get to Hawaii, we'll get to BYU, but Joe and I had a random off-the-cuff conversation about Tulane about 30 minutes ago. Neither of us knew Willie Fritz went to Houston. Neither of us knew the situation. But I feel like you're on top of these things. Is there a school out there that isn't on the tip of everyone's tongue that you want to watch and bet on this year?
Yeah, well, first off, shout out to our colleague over on SGPN, Colby Dant, who really, you know, so deep with college football. And just being around Colby, I absorb a ton of via osmosis and just his old man ranting and raving about these different college football teams. We did some conference preview podcasts, and that helps me, you know, kind of find some of these teams that I'm high on that I'm looking to fade. One team that I cannot get enough of, and maybe it's some of my love of their basketball program bleeding over, but the Syracuse Orange, love them this year, especially they're over 7 wins, and Circa is holding, they're hanging a 100-1 Syracuse to win the ACC Conference Championship. I like both of them. First off, let's look at what they did in the transfer portal. They brought over Kyle McCord, Ohio State quarterback, went 11-1. So already you're in a great spot there. But I mean, for me, really, it just comes down to Syracuse and their amazing schedule. Like, you look at their schedule, they might only be dogs in 2 games if you looked at the early look ahead lines. Very winnable games throughout the whole schedule, and they miss a lot of the top teams in the ACC. Their last game is at home against Miami, probably where they're going to be the biggest dog, but and that game could be to get into the ACC championship. So they're going to have a home game to maybe get into the ACC conference championship game. And if you're sitting on 100-1, they might only be like a 1-loss, maybe 2-loss team. I mean, other than that, at NC State, okay, maybe, obviously they'll probably be a dog there. Even that, who knows what NC State looks like. And then at UNLV, Allegiant Stadium, like, they don't really have a home crowd. I thought UNLV kind of outperformed last year. I think they're very alive in that game. So I think they're going to get off to a good start. I like what they did. And, in the portal and what they've done roster wise, I think they're in a great shot. And really, this one to me is just all schedule.
Sean, you and I are not getting off to a great start here. As a St. Bonaventure alum, there is no way I can get behind any support for Syracuse. But when you look at their schedule, they do definitely avoid the top dogs there, and they are flying under the radar, man. That is some great insight. You seem to like an over on a team that really intrigues me in the Big 12. There's a lot of intriguing stuff around the Big 12. It's an entirely new conference. But BYU has not been getting a lot of love. It is still, I think, one of the toughest places to play in the country. What's your angle on BYU?
Yeah, no, I mean, you nailed it there. Like, they might have, they're losing some guys. They weren't amazing in Big 12 play, but they, you know, really, you nailed it. It is the toughest place to play, I think, in the Big 12. They do have 14 returning starters. So you give them 14 returning starters and you give them a legit home field advantage. Like, I think the over is very reasonable. People always forget the elevation aspect to these handicapping, but BYU is an incredibly tough place to play. So even if they just maintain in their home games, win some of these games where they're obviously going to be favorites, they're going to be right there. The over 4.5 is a layup in my mind.
So Sean.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin, sorry to cut you off here, but the best thing I can do, the best comparison I can make to going to play at BYU for people who aren't familiar, it's like meeting your significant other's parents for the first time at a family reunion. You show up and there's hundreds of people there screaming, in this case, tens of thousands. It's a football stadium. And they're all related. It's a really intimidating place to play.
Well, that's actually Tuscaloosa, too. They're all related as well. Yeah. Everyone dating each other.
There.
Sean, you are in Los Angeles. And UCLA head coach Deshaun Foster informed everyone in the Big Ten last week they are also in Los Angeles. And when you look at the Bruins and their shift to the Big Ten, how do you think things play out in year one?
Oh, man. Well, I had to go and confirm that they were in Los Angeles. So I drove over to the west side. Can confirm they are in Los Angeles. So I was kind of annoyed at that press conference because I was hoping he would kill the press conference, do a really good job, and people would think, oh, UCLA, they're going to be solid this year. No. Do not get on UCLA's over win total. And it's not just Deshaun Foster. I mean, I'm always a little skeptical of a guy coming in, former position coach, taking over with no coordinator experience. But let's just start at the top here. Chip Kelly didn't get fired. He decided to quit UCLA to become a coordinator, essentially in conference. That they played. Has anyone ever done that? I mean, if Chip Kelly looked at this roster and goes, I want no part of this, he's the guy who built up the roster. He's the guy who put together this team, the guys on the roster these past few years. And if he looks at that team and says, hey, I want no part of it, then why should I want any part of it? And really, again, coming back to why I'm looking to fade UCLA on their win total, let's take a look at their schedule. First off, at Hawaii to open up the season, I think Hawaii could be a live dog in that game. We'll maybe talk a little Hawaii later, but I think they're underrated as a program. And then look at this, look at these stretches of like, they play in some of the historically toughest places to play at LSU. Then you have an Oregon game at home. There are going to be more Oregon fans than UCLA fans. Then you go at Penn State all the way back to the East Coast. Then they have another stretch where they're at Rutgers, then at Nebraska, and then Iowa at home. Like the fact that you just have to play at Rutgers and at Hawaii, and then you also have a trip to Penn State in between there. This is just an insane, like the games are tough, but the travel schedule is even harder.
Yeah.
So add that to whatever else is on a plate of a first year head coach. It just seems like way too much for UCLA.
It feels like when I go into a Chinese buffet, I am built for this situation. UCLA football is not built. One, Indiana is going to be better, but at Happy Valley, at Rutgers, at Nebraska, Iowa head-to-head at home, it's a physical nature of football that they're just not built for.
LA to Brunswick, New Jersey. That makes a lot of sense, Dustin.
First off, again, like, why is UCLA in this conference? Like,
right.
If you couldn't compete in football, why then? What is the appeal? And God forbid you play like softball or some of these smaller sports where they don't have. Southwest. I've taken Southwest LA to the East Coast. It is a freaking nightmare. So I don't know what these smaller sports are gonna do. The football team's gonna be. They're in trouble, man.
I'm just excited, Sean, the next time that I, you know, take a flight, because I'm in Los Angeles too, back home to see my family on Long Island, I might be on the same plane as the UCLA women's volleyball team. So, you know, that's always a bright side. Let's talk about that Hawaii squad that you mentioned, because in 1 week from today, Sean, I will be on a flight to Oahu for 5 days. So once I get there, tell me what I need to know about this Rainbow Warriors team so that I can sound edumacated talking about the Hawaii football program when I'm there next week.
Well, if you're there, say hi to our buddy June Jones, who is a Hawaii football legend. He came on to our podcast, and obviously he's a little biased to the Hawaii football program, being a legend himself there, a bunch of great years coaching up their teams. But really, I think there is some optimism in Hawaii for good reason. One, Timmy Chang, their head coach, is in year three. And if you look at the rest of the Mountain West, there are a lot of new head coaches in that conference. So the fact that Timmy Chang has some cohesion, has some something that he's already built up with this program, I think is going to be huge. You look at their schedule again, if you think they can upset UCLA, which I do think they can, I think they could start out 4-0. Like really, if you break down some of their schedule, the travel spots, for them. And now, granted, it is Hawaii, so you're always going to be traveling a bunch, but at least historically, it's way better than normal. And Braden Shager, aka Shager Bomb himself, he is, according to June Jones, he's an NFL prospect. I trust his evaluation of quarterbacks. He's already on the Maxwell Award watch list. This kid really could surprise people. I just think Hawaii is kind of building something. It's not an easy place to play. And again, Timmy Chang year three, like if you watch what they did last year, the year before, they're clearly building something. So while you're out in Hawaii, just say June Jones told me to be all in on Timmy Chang and the Rainbow Warriors, and people will be excited.
Tremendous. Just tremendous stuff from our guy, Sean Green, Sports Gambling Podcast. They have a great thing going there. You'll see him tomorrow on the network, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Also, all of Sean's best bets in the all-new college football guide at VSiN.com. Go become a pro. Get it. The information is tremendous, and he does a great job. Love having you on the program, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Sean, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate you coming on. Always a sense of camaraderie when there's another VSiN guy out here in LA, Dustin.
Hey, we got a few of them, it looks like now. You're right. We've got like four of you guys out there in LA. We might need to build you a studio.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Music to my ears, man. Don't get my hopes up.
I'm really good at spending other people's money, Joe. I'm really good at it.
You and my girlfriend, you guys should be friends. Hopefully she doesn't hear the UCLA volleyball thing from before.
I spend a lot of Visa's money. It's not my money, it's Visa's.
There you go. I'm still waiting, by the way. Speaking of our West Coast VSiN guys, waiting for Samich to scoot me up on his way to Del Mar one of these weekends. He's been telling me to go. I'm like, dude, take me. Take me with you. Chart Money rolls along after this. Don't go anywhere. Heisman talk on deck. Who will win the Heisman Trophy? Who will be in the college football playoff Final Four? Which teams will surprise and which will disappoint? All of those questions and more can be answered by downloading the newly released 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Detailed team previews, picks, and best bets from our writers, hosts, and personalities are just a few clicks away by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Not only will you get the college football betting guide, but also our NFL betting guide and an all-access pass to daily best bets and full access to our exclusive betting splits. Check out the current offers right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe as Sharp Money moves along here on this Thursday, August 1st edition. Joe Cirillo in for Patrick Maher all week alongside Dustin Sweetelson. Dustin, that was fun stuff with Sean right there.
Yeah, look. The college football, like that to me, if you told me give up my Saturdays or Sundays, Joe, I will give you the NFL. I will give you your Sundays. To me,
really?
the 9 a.m. until like 9, 10 p.m. of just being locked in, all these random teams have a chance on any given Saturday. Where in the NFL, you pretty much kind of know who the contenders are. I love the chaos of college football. I love how many games there are. Everything about my Saturdays, I would sacrifice Sundays for Saturdays every time.
That's a hot take. That is a bold statement. I can't say I agree with that one. I love college football. Like you said, I love the chaos, the parody. There's more of that in college sports than pro sports, of course. I always say, look, you can't rely on an 18-year-old to show up to class in the morning. How the hell can you rely on them to cover a spread? But at the end of the day, no, I still will take the NFL and that product over college football. When it comes to hoops, I agree with you. College basketball is 86.
You're a psycho.
You like the NBA more?
I think you're a psychopath that you're able to keep up with college basketball. I don't know where you find the time because there are so many more college basketball teams and there's even more movement in the portal. It has been a full-time job. Half my vacation was spent figuring out who went where in college football, and I still didn't know Willie Fritz went to Houston.
I mean, the NBA, though, is so boring. College hoops, even though it's become, with the transfer portal and with NIL, increasingly more difficult to handicap, it's way more exciting.
What I would tell, so college hoops is harder to keep up with. From a betting perspective, it's 100% better to bet the sides and totals in college basketball. I like doing that a lot more. I don't bet sides in NBA. I only bet player props. My whole mindset for that is everyone said that players resting load management is an issue. I said, let's turn it into a positive. Figure out when a player is out, who in that lineup benefits from that player being out, or even someone from the other team who benefits from a star being out, right? Because they're not defending them. That's the only way you can bet the NBA. But college basketball to me is just so hard to keep up with.
It is. And that's why it takes a little bit of time. I don't go, you know, I'll play, you know, small numbers in November, December. I don't get serious about betting college hoops really until January, until conference play rolls around, because you don't know any of these teams' identity until January because of all that movement in the offseason and the transfer portal. So football keeps me busy until January. Like I said, you know, I'll play around with a 38.5 number when you're getting the U.S. South Sudan spreads in non-conference college hoops action. But you don't really learn about those teams that much in the offseason. You have to watch them for a couple months before you actually know enough to be what I deem an intelligent bettor. Unless college hoops is your number one specialty, where for me, it's like it comes in at third behind the MLB and the NFL. If college hoops is your number one thing and you're just devoting the entire summer to studying who moved where, who, you know, who's in what system now and who's going to, then maybe you have an edge in November, because like you said, I mean, November college hoops, that's what keeps a lot of odds makers up at night.
And it's funny, in college basketball, I can't find the advantages there because there's just so much unknown. However, up until the transfer portal year, although last year I had a really strong week zero through weeks four is when I do my damage in college football. There's something about the out of conference play, these teams not being familiar with each other, a bunch of neutral site options, right? And I think somehow that unknown, I feel like I do have an edge. And I'm more willing, obviously, to back dogs most of the time. But even then, I think a lot of dogs are undervalued. For instance, I do think week zero, August 24th, Florida State and Georgia Tech, I think Georgia Tech catching 13 points at home is kind of disrespectful. I'm all over the Yellow Jackets in that one. I don't understand the fascination with Florida State mixing in so many new pieces. And people thinking DJ Uiagalelei is – somehow I messed up his first name, not his last name. DJ Uiagalelei is like a winning quarterback. I've watched him every step of the way. His best performance was when he filled in against Notre Dame his freshman year. And ever since then, he's had deer in the headlights, overthinking every play, does not contend with good teams. And I think that Georgia Tech's got something brewing. I loved them last year. They had a lot of fight. They were a scrappy team. And if they ever really recruit Atlanta well, get those three stars and four stars that miss out on going to Georgia and Alabama and all those places, take what's left over, they will win in Atlanta.
Yeah, Georgia is just such a tough place to recruit because, I mean, they've got some of the best talent in the country, and it seems like every SEC team wants those kids on their squad. That was a great pronunciation, by the way. You gotta help me out before I leave for Hawaii next week with – Huma Numa Kapua, the fish.
So this,
I'm forgetting Sarah Marshall.
it's one of my favorite movies of all time. The problem with this is DJ Uiagalelei. It has taken me 5 years of him in college to figure out how to say it. Don't ask me to say the Tennessee quarterback. It's going to take a long time to get that right.
you know, it's funny. So you mentioned that Georgia Tech number. First off, I agree with you 1,000%. Obviously, it's early. I don't have any plays in yet on it. But catching 13 at home. Do people forget the kind of offense that Georgia Tech runs, the triple option? That offense's specialty is clock management, killing time. It's tough to get blown out for this Georgia Tech team. Even if you don't think they're going to win, they're in more games than other teams because their drives take so much time off the clock. So I like that early edge there with Georgia Tech at UW.
Well, they actually transitioned last year. So they run the spread now because Paul Johnson's gone. And Haynes King, quarterback, comes over from Texas A&M. Brent Key, third year there, took over mid-year for Paul Johnson 2 years ago. And they can open it up a little bit now. They're kind of getting the players in place that they need to run that system. And I do think they have a puncher's chance against Florida State week zero.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as high on Florida State or Clemson, really, as others. I think that your Canes are really live.
Which scares me.
That the public is in on Miami? That scares you,
Yeah, that the expectations. Yeah, we'll talk with Mitch Moss in about an hour about this. So I'll lay this out why we're having Mitch on, aside from being, you know, the lead host of our number one show on the network, Follow the Money, weekday 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. But so I produced Follow the Money for 2.5 years. Me and Mitch got really close. When Mario Cristobal was having his opening press conference as Miami head coach, I was very excited. Because Mario Cristobal is a great recruiter. And I watched other schools take a Florida State come in and grab Dalvin Cook. Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater go from Miami high schools to Louisville, right? Guys like Amari Cooper go to Alabama when they're all from Miami. Why are the skill guys going to other schools and not coming to Miami? I was excited that Cristobal will be able to recruit the region because he's a former player, but he's also been known as a great recruiter. And Mitch, who we were on a road trip to Connecticut while the press conference was happening, I said, I got to go back to my room and watch the press conference. He was like, why are you so excited? The guy stinks as a head coach. And to be fair to Mitch, every step of the way since then, he's right. Mario Cristobal is a horrific in-game head coach. Single-handedly lost the game to Georgia Tech last year, put the season up in flames. And the reason we're having Mitch on, Mitch picked Miami to win the ACC. So that just goes to show you that even Mario Cristobal can't screw up the riches that he has recruited to this year's Hurricane squad.
Well, that just that has to show you how much of an impact that Cam Ward has on a lot of people's now favorable view of Miami. If they do pull that off, Bay Miami turns in a 12-1 season. They win the ACC. They're going to the playoff. How live is Cam Ward at, what is he, 22-1 to win the Heisman?
So he's not one of the three Heisman best bets that I have in the all-new VEASAN College Football Betting Guide, but he will be someone I have in pocket. I'm also going to take a little flyer on Damian Martinez at like 150, 175-1. The odds of running back winning it are very slim, but at that number, I do think he's a game changer there. But you are right. If Miami somehow does this, if they win the ACC, they are playoff bound. The assumption would be that Cam Ward had a monster year, right? So with that, he will be in the mix, and that number is very much live. I love that he's down there. He is the most accomplished college football quarterback playing in 2024. Over 13,000 passing yards in his career.
Oh, I love this kid. I think he's really live to be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft. I think that he has serious pro potential. You know, he hasn't been on great teams, right? Obviously, he was Incarnate Word. I mean, they were like a 10-11 win team at the FCS ranks when he was there. But he went from the FCS to Washington State, overperformed, I believe, with Washington State. They didn't play much defense. They didn't have much around him. No one in the Pac-12 played much defense. I think he is a real pro-style quarterback. And you see it oftentimes in college, Dustin, where, you know, you'll get these dual threat college-y type quarterbacks who maybe that success can't translate to the NFL. I think Cam Ward can have a lot of success this year in Miami and then go on to have a really illustrious pro career as well. I could not be higher on this kid.
Which scares me. It all scares me, man. I don't like the expectations on a guy who's crumbled under pressure in Mario Cristobal.
The expectations are there. And you know who else is there? JVT joining us up next on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Sharp Money as we keep it moving this Thursday, August 1st. Joe Cirillo here in for Patrick Maher alongside Dustin Sweetelson. And Dustin, from the looks of it, I know I'm out here in Los Angeles on my own little island, but it looks like you got someone next to you at the D right now, Jonathan Von Tobel, the co-host of VEASAN Primetime, kind enough to lend us 30 minutes of his time, join the show, break down this college football betting guide that we've released today. John, how are you, man?
I'm good. I had a little pepper from the meat stick I got from Dustin
Chris Hartman, listener, comes out here from St. Louis a couple times a year, drops off a ton of meat sticks for this meat stick right here, and I love them.
They're very good. But the pepper went down the wrong way, and so I'm trying to hold it together. But I'm very glad that we can have another host from L.A. Fill in for Patrick. So.
Yeah, we like the continuity, right?
Yeah. Because it's good hair. You need to be handsome. You got to have facial hair, and you got to be remotely broadcasting from L.A.
It's kind of a trend, right? The good-looking people every good-looking person you grew up with in high school moved to L.A.
Sure.
And then all the mutants end up here in Vegas.
We start in New York, and then we move out to L.A. What's up with these meat sticks, by the way? Because we'll have 30 minutes to talk about the college football betting guide. But Dustin had mentioned something off air about the – and I'm not getting, like, is it jerky? Is it, like, what is
– It's like a meat stick. You know, like –
Dustin's out there slinging meat on live at the
Like dish. A helicopter, like Petey Pablo said to do.
Yeah, like a Slim Jim type of thing. You know what I mean?
Like Jason Segel and Forgetting Sarah Marshall,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Recreating that scene.
The helicopter. The helicopter.
Very good, though.
They're delicious. They're from some German place.
I don't think I've ever eaten a meat stick.
Oh, come on. You've had a Slim Jim?
No. No. Although yesterday you were implying I should be eating meat sticks because I said I put brown sugar oat milk creamer in my coffee.
Oh, that's good, though.
I am not a tough person. I think we can all agree on that. You've barely known me, Joe. I am not a tough guy. JVT knows I'm not a tough guy. But you putting brown sugar creamer in your coffee is the softest thing anyone's done on this show.
Trader Joe's finest.
The flavor's worth it. I would say I've tried it. But the closest comp for the meat stick, Joe, would be like sausage. It's sausage, yeah. Essentially. Okay. Yeah, sausage.
All right. Got it. A little dried sausage getting slung around at the D.
Whoa, we have no HR, but even that's not allowed anymore with coworkers.
JVT, man, it's great to have you on. Let's get to some of your picks in this newly released college football betting guide. We've been on a little group of five kick today for some reason, having some fun talking about Tulane, not knowing that they have a new head coach, but talking about them nonetheless. You've got an interesting long shot I want to start with in the Mountain West Conference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you like coming out of that conference? Because to me, that's as up for grabs a conference as there is in college football this year.
Yeah, so actually, I did make, in the guide, I only wrote up one pick. I made two bets, but one of them, the market's already moved. So I did bet UNLV and I bet Wyoming. I think the one you're referencing, though, from the guide is Wyoming. And when you look at what Jay Sawbell has here, I think he's got a pretty good squad. And for those who maybe don't recognize the name, Craig Bohl did depart in the offseason. He is retired. He's done. So Jay Sawbell, his three-year defensive coordinator, takes over the program. He's got quite a bit back. He's got about 14 starters back into the fold. He's got six guys coming back on his defense. But for me, it's not only having that continuity defensively. So he's going to be there. His defensive assistant is going to remain on. So you should be just as effective as you were defensively last year. But on offense, you get your top three rushers back, you get your offensive line mostly intact, and you get to get a quarterback in Evan Svoboda who does remind a lot of people in the program of Josh Allen. And not in terms of his play, but the kid's 6'5", he's 240, he's decided to wear number 17 as well, so it kind of smacks of some Josh Allen-type memories. But I think if you can run the ball this way, this team can, play defense the way this team can, play in a very strong home field environment up in that elevation. Boise State's got to come to you as part of your schedule. I think this team is going to be pretty surprising. And remember, you got about 14 guys coming back from a 9-win team last season that pulled off some pretty strong wins, Texas Tech among them as well, that went out there to Laramie and got upset. So I think when you look at like the overall numbers and the projections and the probabilities, I think at 14-1, there's a higher chance that Wyoming wins this conference than a number like that would indicate. So out of all of them, the way the market's currently moved right now, I think Wyoming is worth it at that price.
So Boise State, your favorite at -$1.10. Fresno State, +475. UNLV, +550. Air Force, 11-1. Colorado State, 12-1. Then 14-1 with Wyoming. And oh, by the way, San Diego State, 28-1 with Sean Lewis at head coach. It's going to be a fascinating transition. JVT, last year was the first year I really consistently followed and bet the Mountain West Conference. I have to tell you, it was one of my most fun leagues to consistently monitor because there was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of evenly matched teams. Mm-hmm. Wyoming, as you mentioned, Harrison Whaley comes back. That dude's a beast. They lose Andrew Peasley, right? It was Peasley, the quarterback. They were a fun team to back week in, week out. And a program you know inside and out is UNLV. Now, UNLV got gutted a little bit by other teams in the portal. But Barry Odom proved he is a good coach. What are your expectations in another year under Barry Odom?
Yeah, I think the gutted would probably be what you're referring to as Jaden Maiava, right? The starting quarterback last year who leaves. He leads him to a bowl for the first time since 2013. But here's the thing with Maiava. He was very good, and you don't want to take away anything from him. The two things that really bothered you about Maiava last year, though, was the turnover-worthy play rate was very high. He put the ball in danger a lot. And the other aspect of it is Maiava actually wasn't a good fit for the offense. As well as the offense performed, it is a specific type of offense called the go-go offense under Brennan Marion. It's a little shticky, if you will. But I think when you look at Maiava, and by the way, turnover-worthy play rate of 5.9%. So on essentially 6% of his pass attempts, the ball was in a position to be turned over. That's really high for a quarterback. You bring in Matt Sluka and you bring in Haj Malik Williams, two FCS transfers. On the surface, you're thinking, all right, well, this is downgrades, right? We got two FCS guys, but they're smaller, they're more mobile, they're both great athletes. Whoever wins the job, by the way, my money in talking to people, Sluka is like the guy they want to start there, so we'll see if that's going to be the case as camp gets started tomorrow. But I think that those two guys are better fits for this team. And then you look at everything else. You got three starters back along the offensive line. You got Ricky White at wide receiver. You get DeJesus coming back at wide receiver as well. An All-American special teamer at that, too. So he's a great return guy. And you've got a good chunk of this defense coming back. And the best part about what Barry Odom did was the back end was the big problem. And we actually got to talk to him on Mountain West Media Days about this, which was, look, last year gave up a ton of big plays, like 20 yards downfield. Yeah. Their guys are a little small on the back end. So they bring in multiple Power 5 transfer, Power 4 transfers. Two guys from Arkansas, a kid from Texas. They bring a lot of size in the defensive backfield now. With everything they have back and the new pieces in place, I think this team is primed to continue what they did last year, which was runner-up in the Mountain West and one of the best ATS teams in the country. I think they're going to be very good.
Real quick, do you think Maiev has a shot at stealing that USC job? I know everyone thinks Moss because he had a great bowl game for USC, but they went and grabbed Maiev for a reason. It feels like, I don't know, there's a chance he could play for USC this year.
Well, and remember, they grabbed him from Georgia. Remember, so he initially went to Georgia, yeah, then flipped, and then went to USC.
Oh, didn't he get accused of having bad info on that, and then you ended
up So there was a report out there. This is the only bit of original reporting I had, which was Maiava allegedly had entered the transfer portal, and this was before the bowl game. So I reached out to a couple of people, and I'll just say a very powerful person with the program that would know reached out to me directly and said, he's not going anywhere. Oh. And then he actually stuck around. He played in the bowl, and then after the bowl, he transferred. So we'll see what happens. But regardless,
so you were right.
He transferred afterwards. But regardless, I'll say to answer your question, I was a little surprised because you look at it again to the point I bring up. 5.9% of turnover for the play rate, that was very, very high. He'd committed 24 overall. He threw 17 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. He wasn't particularly accurate. I thought at times, was a little skittish. He's not as great an athlete as some of these guys in extending plays and whatnot. I wasn't surprised that there were teams that wanted him. I was surprised the programs of the level that were, you know, throwing stuff at him.
National
Georgia, USC. Excuse me. That was surprising.
Uh-oh, we're losing them.
Pepper. It's the pepper from the meat.
There's
stick.
A water I mean, right Dustin, there if you need it.
I can carry us for the last 2 minutes if you got to do any Heimlich work here, Dustin. Wow. But JBT, if you can breathe, which we're all certainly hoping for, this Mountain West Conference, it seems like there's five or six teams that are legitimately live atop it. It really does surprise me that with so many actual contenders in this conference, that Boise would be an odds-on favorite. I don't know if it's, you know, a bit of the brand name and because of the reputation that they've gotten over the years, but you're fading this Boise State team. Why are you not as high on Boise as seemingly everyone else?
Well, I think for me, it's just the price, right? Like you said, odds-on when there's a lot of talent here. And I think the reason why is legitimate. You've got all starters coming back defensively. You've got a five-star transfer coming in, Malachi Nelson. Word out of Boise, though, is that he might not even win the job. We'll see if that's going to be the case. And your schedule is manageable, right? Like, your toughest opponents in conference are going to be at UNLV and at Wyoming. Remember, for those who are looking at the schedule, Washington State and Oregon State do have a deal with the Mountain West, but they are not conference games. So even though you're playing those, it won't count toward your conference standing. But I think that when you look at this thing as a whole for Boise State, and this is one of the things that stuck out to me, and I wrote this up in the Mountain West Guide, which was, if you look at it, yes, you have all starters coming back for your defense. Having said that, you were a team that were 71st in opponent EPA per play. You were giving up 6.1 yards per play. The points per game that you gave up last year were the second most in a 7-year span for the program. So, like, you were okay. But remember, you had to go on a big run just to get to the Mountain West title game. You lost 5 games last year. So I don't think that I'm as sold to the point where this team is going to be the odds-on favorite. Ashton Gentry is one of the best players in the conference, maybe in the country. But I think outside of that, it is fair to question this team in comparison with the compatriots there, Fresno State, UNLV, and potentially Wyoming.
JVT, great stuff, man. Let's keep the conversation rolling. On the other side of the break, we're going to switch gears. Obviously, your Mountain West write-up in the College Football Guide is incredible, probably worth the price of admission alone. But we're going to look at some power conference teams when we come back. So don't go anywhere. JVT sticks with us for another segment. We'll look at the Big Ten, the Big 12, and more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into Sharp Money. Obviously, so much of the show today is about the brand new release of our 2024 college football betting guide at VSiN. But if you want to look at some other sports too, we've got great write-ups like Adam Burke's daily MLB winners that he gives out only on VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, and more. Get them all at VSiN.com. Don't waste your time. Head there now as we keep it moving on Sharp Money this Thursday afternoon. Joe Cirillo here in for Patrick Maher, alongside not only Dustin Sweetelson, but taking us all the way to the top of the hour, Jonathan Von Tobel, the incredible co-host of VSiN Primetime, JBT. Appreciate the time, man. Spent a lot of time on the Mountain West and some Group of Five teams in that last block. Let's talk about some power conference plays here. I want to look at the SEC because it is just going to be an absolute dogfight atop that conference. You're seeing a lot of interest now. Obviously, Georgia and Texas are at the top, Bama behind them, but teams like Ole Miss, teams like Missouri that some people are calling on to be surprise teams. You're not ruling Texas A&M out just yet. What do you like about the Aggies this year?
All right, dude. I mean, first off, I'm a big Mike Elko guy. Oh, I think great. Elko coming in is going to really do a lot of great stuff for a team that statistically, defensively, was one of the best in the country. You look at some of the numbers for Texas A&M on defense last season, and you retain 9 starters from that group. So now you look at this and you go, okay, cool. So now I get the defense that was 19th best in the country overall in EPA per play, 12th against the run, 27th in opponent dropbacks, 32nd is their worst category. And that was on early downs. So this team across the board was one of the best defenses. And now you get a great defensive mind who retains 9 of those starters from last year. So I can bank that this defense is going to be great. You look at this team on offense. The big fly in the ointment is going to be, can Connor Wegman stay healthy? Sophomore quarterback who looks like he has all the talent and the tools in the world, but the availability has been pretty shoddy. Just 4 starts last year, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he can stay healthy. The skill positions are loaded. You have a really good defense behind you. And I think you've got a pretty manageable schedule when you break it down overall. Yes. You don't have to play Georgia. You don't have Alabama on the schedule either. Like, I mean, you look at this. Look at the way that this matches up for this Texas A&M team. Your toughest opponents in conference play are going to be that LSU game. You got to play Texas. You got to play Missouri. But 2 of those main games that I mentioned are going to, excuse me, all 3 of those games that I mentioned are going to be at home. So, like, overall, I think Texas A&M's got a lot in front of them to surpass the win total, get to the college football playoff if you wanted to go down that route as well. But this team has all the ability in the world, I think, to be a force in the SEC.
Second best transfer ranking outside of Ole Miss was number 1. A couple notes on them. Wegman, the quarterback, it's massive for them. They've changed quarterbacks 7 times over the last 2 years. That's crazy turnover at that position at the collegiate level. But the big thing, if you like them to win the SEC like JVT does, look at the 3 games before Texas. At South Carolina, New Mexico State, at Auburn. At Auburn's going to be tough, but I think this team's way more physical and deeper than South Carolina. New Mexico State will be a breeze. Mm-hmm. You'll very much be in play on a live ticket, and things could be interesting at that point in the year for you here. I want to shift over to the other team I mentioned in Ole Miss, who had the best transfer recruiting. And you think people like me are crazy in believing in Lane Kiffin, right?
Yeah, it's just, look, I am very much in the camp of I got to see it to believe it with Kiffin and Ole Miss. I mean, last year, and look, and I fully admit, I even said this on the show, like last year is, I think, probably poisoning the well for me too much. But when you see certain situations where you're only a 7-point underdog against Alabama, you got boat race in the game. Like, it wasn't even close. Yeah. And I get this team is different, but
Did they lead at the half that game?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. All I know is that 24-10, and I remember watching that wasn't even really close at that point. But overall, for me, that was a microcosm of what we've seen from Ole Miss, too, which is just you've scuffled in these 1-score games with lesser opponents. You have added a lot in the transfer portal. And the biggest argument against me is, look, this schedule is easy when you're talking about being able to roll through this.
No Alabama.
Obviously, you don't play yourself, one of the best conference teams in the conference by projections. You got to take on Georgia, but you get them at home. Yep. And the rest of your schedule works out pretty nicely. You get to avoid Texas A&M, which I have thrown out as a team that I think is going to be a force in that conference too. So the schedule's awesome. That's probably going to work against me. Where I draw the line in believing in them is, like, if you think Ole Miss can compete for a title is where I very much pump the brakes and go, I've got to see that to believe it. I understand the path they have in front of them is wide open, but if we're talking about matchups on November 9th, home versus Georgia, and then competing in a college football playoff with the teams that are above them, the Ohio States, Oregon's, Georgia's the world, that's where I'm really drawing the line, because I have to see Lane Kiffin do it to believe it. Because in the other matchups, you just go back to last year, are you really bridging that gap? You got smoked by Georgia in that game. You got mollywopped by Alabama physically in a 24-10 loss. I don't see how you bridge those two gaps. You did a great job in the portal, but I got to see it to believe it.
No, I get where you're coming from. They did lead Alabama in Tuscaloosa 7-6 at the half, ended up losing 24-10 last year. Joe and I believe that a Heisman moment could happen for Jackson Dart with that game, Georgia coming to the Grove. Sure. I like what you're doing in the Heisman market. Can we discuss a couple of the long shots you're taking? Because I'm on board with both of them. I think they are absolutely worth the flyers at these massive numbers. The first one is a massive recruit and Patrick Mahomes clone in Dylan Raiola going from potentially Georgia to Nebraska, going to start right away. And why did you end up firing on this ticket?
I mean, for the most part, it's the improvement that the Cornhuskers are going to make. And I have their win total over 7.5 as well. Like, this is a team that last year, they're retaining a lot of personnel defensively. They're kind of old. They're big. They're physical up front. They're going to be one of the better front sevens in the country. They were statistically last year as well. And now you get the improvement at quarterback. You look at their schedule that opened up the season, Dustin. Four straight home games, UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa, and Illinois. You could win all four of those, obviously. The coin flip would potentially be Colorado. A big revenge spot after what happened last year. At Purdue and then home versus Rutgers. If you take care of business, you go on the road against Indiana after a bye week, there is a realistic scenario in which this Nebraska team, which five of their first six games are at home, have one loss or are undefeated by the time they take on Ohio State. This is a brand that the country has been waiting for to turn things around. And now if I get the starting quarterback for that squad, who's going to be a part of this turnaround, who is a high-profile kid, like you mentioned, a former five-star, I'll take my shot at 500-1 on a team that I think has a realistic shot to be undefeated or have one loss at a late portion of the year. And then you get to the later portion. Look, it is hard. At Ohio State, home versus UCLA, at USC versus Wisconsin, at Iowa. I mean, you could probably alternate wins and losses potentially there if the improvement's real. Maybe you get through this season with just two losses. I mean, those are all possibilities here, especially if Raiola's the real deal. But at 500-1, we'll boil it down to this. 500-1 on the starting quarterback for a premier program that has a schedule that is manageable. I'll take my long shot there.
I love it.
That'd be something. Hey, shifting over to the Big 12, you've got an even longer shot ticket. You know, as an Italian, I love any time I get to say this name. What do you think about Rocco Beck and the Iowa State Cyclones?
I mean, Rocco's got a lot going for him. The Cyclones have a ton of personnel coming back in the range of like 18 guys back. But for him, it's the offense around him. All five starters back along the offensive line. His top two receivers back from last year. His top running back from last year. Himself, he was the fifth best passer by PFF standards in the Big 12. In the last five games of the season, he was the second best by passing standards. He's going to be very good, I think, when you're talking about moving forward as a young quarterback. Then you look at the schedule again, and you look at the manageable nature of this. When you open it up, you have a winnable Heisman moment type performance potentially against Iowa to start the year. We'll see if you can pull that off. And then after that, Arkansas State at Houston versus Baylor at West Virginia is going to be one of like tough-ish for you. But UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cincinnati, after that, you avoid the two real big boys until the last 2 weeks of the season. Again, similarly, I mean, Iowa State rolls into the last 2 weeks of the year potentially with one loss. I mean, they're, and Beck's going to be a really big part of that. So at 1,000-1 on a team that I'm very high on, like I think in the Big 12, 10-1 to win the conference, the ability to go over the win total, I think Iowa State's got everything in front of them, and Beck's going to be in the middle of all that.
You wrote up the Big 12 in the College Football Betting Guide. You think Iowa State worth a bet there? Is there someone else you would take a shot on second favorite bet in this league?
So I don't think, for me, not really. Like I think there's going to be a lot of chaos
it's
here.
The Wild
you know,
West.
You can poke holes in every single one of these teams, like every single one of them. Yeah. But from a win the conference standpoint, no. From a win total standpoint, actually, I think betting over Cincinnati's win total is very much worth it. Mm. If you look at what Scott Satterfield has coming back for Cincinnati, specifically on offense, you have the return of a 1,000-yard rusher. Your offensive line is intact. You have one of the best offensive linemen in the country along that unit as well. You're going to have a quarterback battle going into the year, so we'll see what comes of that. But I think this wide receiver and running back and offensive line group is very, very good for Satterfield. And then you look at the Bearcats schedule and you realize, like, this is pretty manageable for this team. You have the other three bottom dwellers on the schedule. You've got BYU. You got Arizona State, right? You have these programs that you can beat up on Houston as well that you should be better than. Those are winnable opportunities. There's non-con wins in there. I think they're a bowl team. So I don't think they're going to go out there and win 7-8 games. There's a potential that they can. But if you look at the schedule compared with what they have coming back, especially on offense, I think the Bearcats have got six wins in them at the very least.
JVT, final 30 seconds or so here. You look at the Big 12. Obviously, everyone wants to know about Colorado. Their win total coming in at 5.5. Is there any hope for them, man? I mean, I view them as a 4-8 team more likely than a bowl team. But what do you think?
I mean, I think there's hope when you have a quarterback that's probably going to go in the first round of the NFL draft, right, barring any injury, if Shedeur Sanders, and you bring back an offense that was one of the best in the country. And the good thing for Colorado is they said, the offensive line, get out of here. They rebuilt the entire thing. So maybe that's going to be a little bit better for you. But I just say really quickly, you bring back the majority of a defense, which was one of the worst in the country. I think that creates too much volatility. I don't know if you can realistically get to 7-ish wins. I had them under. I don't think it's super strong, but that defense isn't going to be good.
Yeah, toughest schedule in the Big 12 for me. That's what it comes down to. And North Dakota State, Nebraska, Colorado State, pretty tough non-conference slate there. Hour 3 of Sharp Money up next, JBT. Thanks so much.